You're listening to Work Tape, episode 133.
Welcome to this edition of the Work Tape podcast. It's your boy Money Mitchell, Isaac Reuben Grover, as always.
What's up, guys?
So we totally missed a topic in our last episode, which was
actually probably two episodes or three episodes ago.
Yeah. Bob Marley's birthday recently happened. And so did the movie based on his life just came out. Bob Marley's One Love just came out. And from what I've been hearing, it's a bit of a mixed bag. Some people have really enjoyed it, have really gotten a lot out of it. The acting, from what I heard, is pretty solid. I know we were talking about that originally in leading up to the biopic. We said that we thought the guy who they got to play Marley is okay, but he was almost a little too like pretty to play Bob Marley, especially because they had like some different shots. And I'm kind of like, I don't think Bob was that ripped ever. I mean, I know that he played soccer and kept himself active, but you know, this dude's kind of looking like a little bit of a model, and I'm not sure if...
I mean, maybe he did a great job at the role itself, but they didn't really necessarily choose his doppelganger, if that makes sense. To me, he didn't.
Right.
You know, they didn't do that.
Well, and they didn't go what they're doing with the Michael Jackson biopic, which actually there's been some pictures that have come out of that as well, where they didn't, you know, get like his nephew or get like a family member to play Bob, although YG Marley is apparently gaining some traction as well, actually. Some people are saying that he might be another one of the Marleys to carry the torch more in the modern age. I think that's a little up for debate until he starts putting out some real singles and real material, because people could have said the same thing about Skip, and Skip kind of did, but kind of didn't at the same time. You know, so it's more of a mixed bag. I'm probably going to try at least at some point to see the film within this upcoming week. I've seen all these different biopics. I kind of know the notes that they tend to hit, you know, the kind of structure that there is. So it'll be very interesting for me to see if they kind of hit the same structure in terms of it being a sort of glorified Wikipedia entry, or if they do something a little different.
The more I like an artist, the more I prefer documentaries over biopics.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously with BMW, this will, I think it's going to be the same. I think I'm not really going to be big on a biopic, but it still kind of intrigues my curiosity. And so it's something that I'm definitely going to check out. And it's kind of positive to hear that the overall consensus is that the acting was pretty okay.
Yeah.
So That's pretty nice to hear.
Yeah, the acting is one of the bigger parts, or one of the bigger positives of like the movie. And then actually, I would agree with you on that in terms of if there's an artist that is near and dear to my heart that I would prefer to go with the documentary presentation rather than a biopic, just because the biopic is so dramatized. They will straight up change the timeline of a lot of things, and it doesn't quite hit, as opposed to a documentary, which is, you know, very matter of fact and just very straight up. And a lot of times you get the, you know, straight from the source in terms of people who are around the person. Although I will say I am excited for the MJ biopic, at least from the photos I've seen of Jafar Jackson. He looks a lot like MJ, man. To a point where if you showed a picture, someone might have to really look to make sure that, like, oh, it's not just a picture of MJ. I mean, it's really that good in terms of the look. And of course, Jafar Jackson can also sing. So I think that's like a big thing too.
Okay, but how's Jafar's E-he?
I don't know. You know, Jafar Jackson actually put out a single. Have you heard that single, The Rebirth of Michael?
I haven't. And now I got to go check it out.
Now, some people are saying that there might be a little bit of AI work going on this, and whether or not it's actually Jafar singing.
AI.
But it's oddly coincidental that there's some single under Jafar's name right as the pictures for the biopic started coming out. I don't think that's coincidence. I think that there may be very much a real possibility that that actually is Jafar Jackson. And if that's the case, then I think he's going to nail it based off of the song that I heard, because I have heard it in bits and pieces. Jafar Jackson sounds a lot like the Off the Wall era of MJ, like the Off the Wall era, Destiny era of Michael Jackson, which is great.
And he said that he can nail the dancing, huh?
Yeah, I guess he's been working on this for like a long time. He's been working on this for like years, making sure that his dancing and his singing was up to snuff. Because Jafar Jackson is Jermaine's son. MJ is his uncle, I guess. So he's not like a direct descendant of, like, he's not like Michael Jackson's kid. He's not one of Michael Jackson's kids, is what I'm saying. He's one of Jermaine's kids, but you know,
so he's technically, it's immediate, right? He's not an immediate.
Yeah, he's an immediate member. Family member. Yeah. And the Jackson genes are hella strong, at least from what I've seen.
Wow.
And the family members, like, they are very pronounced. Like, it's like, there's no doubt when you look at the Jacksons, like, yeah. So I'm excited for it. The thing that I'm kind of torn on, though, is I really hope that they don't try to speed run everything into one film.
Yeah, that's the thing about biopics, is that intensified timeline, because you're trying to cram so much
because you only have like 2 hours and you're trying to cram, you know, pretty much someone's entire career in like 2 or 2.5 hours, and it has been done. I mean, I thought Rocket Man was pretty solid in terms of how they were able to do it. And they had a different approach to telling the story too, which I think also helped.
Mm.
But with MJ's life, his career and his life is so long. I'm almost kind of like, why don't you split it into 2 movies? You know, like,
But wasn't Elton also kind of more involved?
Yes, Elton was.
That does help. When they're dead, yeah, it's kind of like fair game.
Yeah. Elton was, I think, like executive producer or something like that. And he was on the set a lot to like make sure that everything was accurate. And I mean, the Jackson family is heavily involved in this one. That's why it is like such a big deal, because they have tried to do Michael Jackson films before without the estate's like approval. And it didn't go so well, because you had a thing similar to like the Hendrix biopic where you couldn't use any of the music.
Yeah.
And overall, like just the production value, you could tell like they were trying to make like a quick buck. It wasn't like something that they took their time with, as opposed to this one where the Jacksons are completely on board, as far as I'm concerned, with the estate. And they have a really good director. It's Antoine Fuqua, who did a Training Day and a lot of those films with like Denzel. So a very good director as well. So I'm not worried about necessarily like the production quality is going to be A1. I'm not worried about that, especially after seeing, like I said, some of these photos that have come out where dude is looking a lot like Michael, and can sing and can dance. So I'm not concerned about that. I'm just more concerned that MJ's life and career is so expansive and so prolific that you should split it into 2 films. Like you should have one film be like the, or maybe even 3 films, actually. Like you could have one film be the like the early upbringing of the Jacksons, the Jackson 5, like all of that stuff. Then you could have another film be when MJ decided to go solo and go into the Off the Wall Thriller bad run of albums. And then the third and final film could be the later half. And then, of course, all the allegations too. So you could really make it almost a trilogy if you really wanted to. But I don't think they're going to do that.
No, they wouldn't do that. Even they wouldn't do that.
They're not going to do that. I mean, to be honest, with how long some of these films have been that have come out recently, like Oppenheimer or Killers of the Flower Moon, we might get like a 3-hour film.
Yeah, it'll be directed by Chris Nolan himself.
Scorsese will do the Michael Jackson movie. And actually, you know what? Why not? Because
he does do thrillers.
Scorsese. Martin Scorsese, excuse me. No, why not? Because Martin Scorsese actually directed the Bad music video for Michael Jackson. So why not? That was the thing about MJ. He got some of the big directors of the time. He got Martin Scorsese. He got John Landis to direct some stuff. George Lucas, actually, at one point. Have you ever heard of Captain EO?
Ooh, sounds familiar, but I can't put my finger on it.
It was a show that was exclusively at Disneyland. It was like a 20, 30 minute film, basically. It was Michael Jackson in space. And he was like a sort of savior of like space in a way. And it's him and a bunch of like Muppet type creatures. And they're saving the galaxy from this like, I'm not even trying to describe it, but like this force, basically, this evil force. And of course, it's George Lucas at the height of like his Star Wars thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, with it being Michael Jackson, he ends it with like two dance numbers, you know. But it's pretty dope. I think you can find the entirety of Captain EO on YouTube, actually. I think it's there if you want to see it.
That sounds pretty interesting. I mean, especially now with how boring things are.
Yeah, but it was a collaboration between MJ, George Lucas, and Francis Ford Coppola, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And they had that at Disneyland. It was a mainstay of Disneyland and Disney World for like 20, 30 years. And then the allegations came out and they had to pull it, you know, for obvious reasons, right?
Right.
You can't have an MJ show at Disneyland when he's being accused of what he got accused of. And then he got acquitted and they still didn't put it in there. They only put it back in Disneyland after he died in like 2009, 2010. They reinstated the show.
Wow.
As like a tribute, basically saying like, yeah, like, you know, we're going to put it back in because it was a big part of the park for a while. We're going to do it. And that's when I saw it. I saw it when it was in like its reissue, I guess. And it was cool. It was a good time. And I mean, I'm sure in the 80s, people were like freaking out over this. I'm sure like...
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
I'm sure people were like, let's go see Captain EO. So I'm excited for the Michael Jackson biopic. Let me just say that. I'm actually excited for it. The pictures look good. Jafar seems like a talented dude. It seems like they're putting a lot of care and effort, I guess, tender love and care into it.
Yeah, Jafar interests me. So I really want to watch it, you know?
I think it'll be good. I think it's just, like I said, I want to make sure that they take their time. I mean, honestly, if the movie needs to be 3 hours, let it be 3 hours. Like, I will watch a 3-hour Michael Jackson biopic if it's done at the level that I think it could be done at. So,
wow.
That's our biopic film edition of the Worktape podcast. Have you noticed that all of these artists are going country now? These modern artists are...
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what they're all doing.
Are going country. So Post Malone is in the process of making a country album, which is not surprising at all.
That's fitting, to be honest. We all know about Post's music background, so
yeah. Yeah, he's from Texas. Makes sense. You know, he's even had...
I'm saying not even demographically. I mean, just the fact that he actually has a history of playing it. Like bluegrass or folk type stuff. He has a history of that. That's cool enough. Because if he was one of those people who pulled like a... I don't even want to think about it, but I don't know. If he had no... I don't even care if the dude is white.
Yeah.
If he has no background in country, I'm not saying you can't do it. In fact, I applaud people who step outside of their zone, but sometimes these crossover type artists are just so weird because... In my opinion,
yeah,
a lot of those cases, not all of them, but most of them, really, they lack authenticity. They're just trying to get a bag.
Right.
And I, as much as, you know, I have my feelings up post. I'm really not crazy about him, but I really respect the fact that he has a pretty strong rooting in country. So as far as I'm concerned, I mean, he's basically like, he looks, it's funny how Jelly Roll like kind of took that look.
Yeah.
Now he's basically like a Jelly Roll in a way. It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
visually, I'm talking about visually.
Yeah. I'm for it. I think that, you know, Post Malone, one of his early videos before he even hit major superstardom was covering, you know, Bob Dylan, which is like folk music. So
exactly. And
his voice lends itself very well to like that genre. Even on his straight up like hip hop albums, there are at least a song or two that has kind of a country twang influence, you know. Feeling Whitney is kind of one of those types of songs. There's other examples as well. So I think it's going to fit Post really well to do the country thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think he's actually going to bring probably a fair amount of people who may have not even dabbled in country over to the genre. And same goes for Beyonce, actually. The difference is, though, is that Beyonce doesn't really have an established history with making country records, with the exception of, I think she did make like a song with the Dixie Chicks back in the day, but like,
man, they were on top of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
And until they started dissing Bush and then imploded.
I remember that.
And then they imploded and then everybody started like burning their record and destroying them. And it was bad. But I think Beyonce is the one that's kind of surprising more people, because when people heard that Post was going to do it, they were like, oh yeah, you know, it kind of makes sense, like the aesthetic and
somewhat old news because of his, you know, his posting about it, no pun intended.
Yeah. But Beyonce, that was the one that kind of threw people for a loop, because I mean, she's had some of that kind of aesthetic, like on the Renaissance album, because she had kind of like that Texas, but futuristic kind of aesthetic. But in terms of her actually making country music, like with the exception of the one song I mentioned, not really. So for her to come out with two singles that were, you know, very much in that vein was surprising. And unfortunately, it sounds like she had a little bit of a Lil Nas X situation where country stations were not playing it despite, you know, many requests. Because maybe viewed it wasn't country enough, or they're going to, I think they actually claim something like they didn't know it was country, but it's kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know about that. like just off of history of American music and history regarding black artists, and especially in some radio stations, no, I don't think you can claim that at this point.
So I don't like to, I think my favorite part about being black, I can sling the N-word anytime I want to, but I try not to do it in front of kids. So there's that.
Sure.
Number two, there's a little bit of background, but no, seriously, blacks have been at the forefront of rock and blues since its inception.
And so country too, actually.
That's what I'm saying, because country is already like a cousin sibling of rock anyway. So it's like,
yeah,
it kind of baffles me that it becomes a point of contention when like a black person does country. It's funny how like people don't realize that Darius Rucker is not the only guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's always like weird. It's like, yeah, like there's a long history of blacks with country. So that doesn't bother me intrinsically, but outwardly from what I can observe, because I don't really know if that's a reason why Beyonce is kind of being excluded a bit. Maybe it is, but I'm okay with it not being the reason as well. I just want to kind of put it out there.
Yeah. And I mean, some people would even say the reception to even the singles that she's dropped is that like it has a slight country aesthetic, but it's not like
country enough
full blown. Like there's still a lot of the stuff that makes a Beyonce record where there's various rhyme schemes and harmonies and stuff. So where you know, some people say, well, she didn't really quite fully go in. Like, it's more of like kind of like dipping the toe in, but not really like diving completely in.
I wonder if she could kind of do the Kacey Musgraves brand. But I mean, I'm not saying not necessarily to the Kacey Musgraves completely.
Perhaps.
You know what I'm talking about? Maybe just incorporate some of that.
Perhaps more of like a pop country thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Perhaps.
I think that would fly.
I mean, like I said, I think a lot of people, even under that note, would say that Kacey is more of a full-fledged country artist, even on the pop side, because like structurally, songwriting-wise, she kind of has that dialed in, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
As opposed to, like I said, Beyonce, where it's like she has some ideas going that are kind of country, but there's still a lot of Beyonce on there, which I think is cool because Beyonce is one of those folks where I think she's made pretty consistent music. A lot of people are saying that she's going country because they believe that she's not making money in her genre anymore, which I think is kind of a stupid argument because I'm like, just look at that Renaissance tour and how much money that made. You know, it was right up there with Taylor Swift's Eras tour. It was right up there with The Weeknd's tour and Kendrick's tour as the highest grossing tours of the year. So for someone to come out and say she's not making money in the genre is a little ridiculous, I think. I do think that she is trying to switch it up. She's maybe trying to get more of a broader audience. And another thing too is she's Texas as well. She's from Houston. So
yeah, this is true. So I totally think that she probably, you know what I mean? She could kind of do it.
Yeah. The only thing is of course, I think since she's under UMG, you're not going to hear much about it on TikTok right now. Because UMG, we're gonna do that update a little bit here. UMG is still sticking to their guns right now. No mas on artists and TikTok.
Wow.
And you don't even really get much of promotions either, what's really interesting to me is that it seems like it hasn't delayed releases. Like Ariana Grande is still putting out music. The Weeknd, I think, is still going to put out his final album under The Weeknd name because he's posted that he's in the studio now as well. So I kind of would have figured that with this kind of big news that some of these artists would like delay their albums, like because they can't promote it on TikTok anymore. But with these artists and like your Drakes and your Adeles, maybe they're too big to fail in that respect. Like they're so big now that this whole TikTok thing really isn't that much of a deterrent from like their fan base, because especially like in a Drake situation, like the fans are going to eat it up regardless.
Oh yeah.
It could be a dumpster fire of a record and it'll still sell. Same goes with Taylor too. And of course we talked about Kanye's record as well, which was also at least in my opinion, also a dumpster fire. It really was. I felt like there was a couple of moments that were good, but overall, like by his standards, it was a dumpster fire. And I, yeah. What you mean it's a dumpster fire? You don't like my album? Like, you know, that kind of
so,
thing.
So first off, Adele could grab this country thing by the horns, I believe, if she really wanted to.
No.
What's really?
No.
You don't think so? You think she's too really?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. Cause I think I kind of hear what you're saying, but I don't know. Okay. Okay.
She's so rooted in like her sound. I mean, okay. If she experimented with it, people would buy the record.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
People would listen to it because they're going to, okay. If Adele came out with a drill album, people would still listen to that. Because it's one of those things where you're just like, it's so kind of preposterous that you're kind of like, I have to listen to it. Yeah, no, I mean, actually, her on some drill beats would go kind of crazy, actually. If she was, like, singing the hooks on some drill beats, that'd go wild.
Okay. So scratch that one, or let's get back to that later. So here are the other two. Billy can do it because she's already kind of been doing the Fleetwood Mac bluegrass sound. So she could technically do it, and she could definitely do it better than Adele. That I know for sure.
Oh, she could. Yeah. It would be more convincing coming from Billie Eilish than it would be from Adele. By
exactly.
So a long shot. Yeah.
She would be just fine. So there's that. But here's the other one. I don't want to say it's ironic, but it's like, dude, Taylor Swift. I mean, she could just make another Fearless. Not that she wants to, but it's just like, isn't that full circle weird?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that.
Like, it's her domain. We never thought this would happen, you know, because she was in country when country's always kind of been a bit of a big genre. And so that's one thing. However, pop and R&B and hip hop, I mean, that has been the forefront. So to hear that we're kind of going back to her domain, because she kind of, you know, she crossed over, right?
Right.
But it's been her home this entire time. She can just take off the cloak and just be like, boom, country, here I am.
Oh, for sure. And actually, I would welcome that too. I would welcome that mostly because, to be honest, I know that there's a lot of people who actually think that the pop Taylor is better. I don't, though.
No, I think we just got used to it.
Yeah, I don't think that. Actually, I think if she went back to a country record, if she went back to kind of her roots and how she started, I think, yeah, she could kill it.
She would kill it. She just, I mean, unless there's some weird reason why she doesn't kill it, she would otherwise kill it.
Yeah, but I think she could kill it, like from a financial standpoint, from a songwriting standpoint.
Cultural standpoint, she understands it.
Yeah, I think she would do really well. I think the thing is, though, is she is kind of on a streak right now, especially with Antonoff and like kind of her tight-knit pop circle.
She should ditch the Antonoff for this.
Well, no, she would have to, because Jack Antonoff's not going to produce a country record.
No offense to him, but
yeah. He's not going to do it. No way. That's not his thing.
It's like, Mom, can I go outside? No, stay inside. Like, you know, she needs to go outside.
No, Jack Antonoff is making, you know, music for people who wish they were born in the 80s or who wish that they were alive in the 80s.
Yeah, he's all right. Like, it was cool for like a minute. Then it just got, I don't know.
I feel like him and Brandon Flowers, actually Brandon Flowers could do country, actually.
Oh my goodness. Why didn't I think about this? The Killers or Brandon Flowers could do this.
Yeah, Brandon Flowers could do it.
You're right.
He's already embraced some kind of like...
the Bruce Springsteen, that whole sound from that
Americana
time.
Type sound.
Look, if you do Bruce Springsteen or you do Fleetwood Mac from the 80s, you could do country.
Yeah, and I think with Brandon, like he has already kind of like a twang to his voice already, especially with like some of
true.
The more recent records that they've done. So I think he could actually pull off a country record really well also.
That's true. I agree.
Just as an aside. But yeah. So it's one of those things where we'll kind of see how that whole thing develops as well. Just because some people are wondering if with like the Beyonce thing, if that's really going to be the aesthetic that she's going to commit to, or if it's going to be that mixed in with a bunch of other stuff. So we'll see how that goes.
Lil Nas X is probably going to go back to the country again, ironically.
he's going to make Old Town Road 2. Like, that's what he's going to do.
Oh, and last one. Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, she could.
I'm just saying.
She could, but she already did it. That's the thing. She already kind of went back to it, and it didn't really go as well as she maybe thought. And I think Miley Cyrus and now Lady Gaga are going to be more on the rock side, because I think Gaga just posted on her Instagram that she may or may not be working on a rock album, which is,
of course,
something that a lot of people have said as well. Which I'm also actually excited for that, too. I think Gaga can definitely pull off a rock album. So on that note, we'll have to see kind of how this type of thing will progress. But this has been another edition of the Worktape podcast. It's Money Mitchell, Isaac Rubengrover. Be good to everybody. Peace.
Stay safe from UMG, guys. Peace.
Yeah.